Hello, and welcome to one of the favorite Simpson episodes, Homer the Great, also known as 2F09, original air date January 8th, 1995, written by the endless John Swartzwelder, directed by the wonderful, terrific Jim Reardon, still with the show, supervising away. He's a great man, great man, great man. I'm Dave Merkin, executive producer and showrunner.
I'm Yardley Smith. I do the voice of Lisa Simpson.
Dan Castellaneta, the voice of Homer Simpson.
This is Matt Groening, creator of Itchy.
And other characters.
I got to meet the guy who did Scratchy, because they're great together.
Yeah.
What's with the big tiki head in the background there?
You don't remember that episode?
An old episode.
I don't remember.
The Olmec head.
Oh, right.
Yes.
See? It's a trip down memory lane for
you. You know what? It's actually a really a good tribute to the animators, because the animators insist of putting it in every time they go down. We go down the basement.
That's so great.
It's really cool.
We have continuity.
Occasionally.
This is an episode where I can actually remember exactly where the idea came from at the exact moment, because this is my idea, a story I came up with. It was great to have John Swartzwelder write it. You know, as the executive producer, you're there all the time. You're rewriting everything all the time. You don't necessarily have time to write your own stuff. If you're going to choose someone to execute an idea, John was perfect for this, and he just slammed it out of the park. I was actually driving home from all right, we'll talk about that first. This is an idea of mine that...
I came here for a little fist fight.
It's flexible reality. I thought it would be funny that, you know, you have a terrible traffic jam to get to work every morning, and then you have the worst parking space in the place that's actually next to your house that took you 40 minutes to
get
to.
It's a good joke. I have to admit it.
And it's flexible. It goes away the next day.
Yeah, yes, but it does.
That's the kind of thing that Matt would come in and say, well, I don't want to do that. It's like, oh, we're going to do it. It's funny. And he'd go, all right, okay. But, yeah, he wasn't a big fan of that. I still love it. What can I say?
I like it now.
Okay, good. It takes Matt 10 years to
Millions
realize what a great joke I had. That's all it took. Coming home from a late-night rewrite, we don't go quite that late anymore. Now it's, 2005. Back then, the rewrites would go to 2, 2.30 in the morning and many nights in a row like that. And you get very, very... And I was driving home, and I was always driving home and always listening to the same radio station. I was real sick of it. I went onto AM radio just looking for something new in my head, because you get into this rut, and as a writer, you're always looking for something new. And there was no porn around, so, you know, I was just like... But anyway, so I got on the radio, and I hit a religious station on AM radio. And he was talking about Masonic societies through history and how they're related to Satan and how they controlled... history and how they control things till today and are responsible. And I said, that's a perfect idea. There's a Masonic society, a Masonic type-esque society in town. And pretty much everybody's a member except Homer, which also represented my life as a kid, which is always feeling like an outsider. That's what so many comedy writers are. I know I could say that about Matt, me. The whole thing that gets you funny is really being separate from everybody, right? And you're always looking and from the outside. And so that's sort of what this was about, an outsider who wants in, and then he gets in much more than he ever hoped he would get in, and that
right.
makes him an outsider yet again. So that's sort of where the story came from.
And it's funny that they paint the lines as they go. What's that?
That was so Homer can follow him.
But who came up with that? It seems, like flexible reality, no?
That's flexible reality. No, that's, you know... Detectives use that till I can't tell you how many times I've gotten out of the car and found a paint can up to the back of my car. I've left a trail.
Well, I remember in Chinatown, Jack Nicholson.
Well, he broke
the rear
tail light.
Yeah.
No, that was a clever idea. And again, this is Mr. Reardon did a fantastic job with the lighting and the atmosphere in this.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Get out of here.
The ultimate price was getting thrown out.
That's right.
Weird, strange, sick, twisted, eerie, godless, evil stuff.
And this is a fantastic performance by Dan.
And you can't join the Stonecutters because it's too exclusive.
Oh, well, that was a real nice secret organization we had once.
Stonecutters, eh? How do I join?
There are only two ways to gain membership.
In doing this, I actually did a lot of research into these organizations and what's involved in the initiations and what the rules are. And I've had people who you know, promised that they would never say what the things were. And we took some of those things and put them in here. So it, it has some reality to it and then some great exaggeration as well.
Oh, you got it all wrong, Homer. It's not like that.
This was a joke that I had based on those cholesterol commercials for the eggs. And they don't exist anymore, so I'm sure that nobody knows what that is referencing. But, yeah.
I'm sure it's nothing personal.
I was alive at that time. I don't remember that.
You don't remember it either.
You don't remember guys dressed up in white
around
and they said,
oh,
I'm getting a bad rap.
I think it's a regional thing.
Is it true?
It might be.
It was here. It was in Los Angeles.
Well, I was
living in West LA.
I was living in Chicago.
Now, who's that little redheaded kid?
Some kid.
And that's Pamela doing that voice. But, yeah, that's what it felt like to be out of a club.
Sure.
And,
so that, is that where No Homers?
That's
no
where
Homers?
No Homers comes from. And they there's a website called No Homers, which we never looked at or heard of. But
we love you.
We love
you. No Homers correspondents.
But they actually took the No Homers, which is the picture of Homer with a line through it and everything, which is at the end of this episode. They use the logo. They use everything. So,
well, that's actually a
actionable
great website full of amazing commentary. No, it's good stuff.
No,
it is. So half of it is completely insane and wrong. But
as always in internet land. But yeah, there's some good,
but there's some really
guys.
Good stuff. No, there's some really. And you know what I love about it? I love about that app, that website is that the people who write for it obviously care.
They do care.
You know.
And
it hurts
do.
Our feelings terribly every week. But no, it's great.
It should. They should change the name of that website to Worst Show Ever Weekly.
No, actually, well, there's some appreciation.
No, there is. They're actually great guys. You know, we really do love the guys on the internet who pay so much attention. And, you know, we hope you eventually have girlfriends and find women. But until then, we
spread the word about the show.
All the, I keep making jokes. I don't mean to do this, what I do. But we really do appreciate the attention you pay for the show. As Matt has said this, and I've repeated it, you know, this is a show that rewards people who pay attention.
Yeah.
And you guys are the epitome of that, way more than we wish you would, but you do pay a lot of attention.
Well, remember when we were talking about this the other day about the Simpsons celebration, you know, on the lot at Fox, and the writers competed against the fans for this trivia contest. And just the fans mopped the floor.
That's right. I remember that.
I had, you know, we're all friends here. We've worked here for a long time. And my friends couldn't wait to, my other writer buddies, I won't give away their names, but they couldn't wait to get up on the stage. And I said, you're out of your mind. These guys are going to kill you. You have no idea the detail that they pay attention. We could never remember because we're busy writing the new stuff. And they go, no, we're going to do fine. And they just got you. And I was laughing so, I was purposely laughing so they could hear me. And I just was humiliating them. You know, I was a big coward. I didn't get up there. I knew it was going to be bad. This is based on an actual. They'll do stuff like this where they'll tell you you're high on a roof.
If you survive this 5-story plot,
Patrick Stewart, one of my all-time favorite guest stars on this show.
Great performance.
The landing.
It's probably one of our best guest performances, if not the best guest performance, because he's so committed to this character and these jokes, and he was just making me roar the entire time. And he was so into it, man. He was so excited to do this. He was having such a great time. You know, he played a very serious character on the Star Trek episode, on the Star Trek series. And he just so enjoyed this, and I so enjoyed working with him on it.
You know, credit also has to go to Jim Reardon for directing this. This is amazing animation. It's really, really funny.
It is.
Really good.
It is.
I love this
joke.
This
is funny.
The paddling of the swollen ass. With paddles.
See if you can get like somebody with such dignity.
That was
saying say that.
No, if he would
straight,
do the show, I had no idea if he had a sense
so
of humor.
Excited.
He was so great. Yeah.
So excited, and as I said, you know, we gave him all these undignified things to say, just as Dan is saying, and yet he filled them with dignity and such commitment. He did it so deadly serious. I mean, he was just, you know, he's so, that's what I mean by commitment when I say that. It's no sign that anything is a joke. He's doing it. It's really, really real.
Which, of course, makes it so incredibly funny. Can you speak a little bit about what's written on the certificate? The gibberish, is it?
It's mostly gibberish, in fact.
And is it like the result of it being 2:30 in the morning and we're going to put something? Or,
no, it's
or
the result of
it,
us not having written it and the animators having something they need to put on the
That's right.
That's what. Whenever there's gibberish, it's because we forgot to write the joke.
We probably should have done something there. And then here are the crazy handshakes, and this is sort of based on the real crazy handshakes. I have to say that Python also did a fantastic sketch
about
the Masonic societies,
yes.
You know, blackballing bastards.
Black
yes. Yes, the architect sketch, right?
Yes, the architect sketch.
That was one of my favorite Python sketches, and so I was very... And this again is, you know, that fantasy that if you did know the right people and you would suddenly have a different life. But he still gets a lousy parking space.
Space, huh, Dad?
Yep, but they gave me these rollerblades so I can glide to the front door. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Sweet. Jealous.
And you know, that's one of the reasons that Patrick is so great and fits right in, because that's what we have with our other actors, just complete deadly serious commitment to everything we write, and we write these outlandish things, and yet
you
guys play it totally serious and real and full with full emotion, and that's, you know, trying to be funny is deadly, and that's you know, we have actors that understand this, you know, really really excellent actors.
Very kind.
Here's what
Very
really
true.
Happened at the signing of the Declaration of Independence.
There's a lot of, this is based on, there's a lot of books out there that, you know, that Deep Secrets, I think, is one of the series of books.
Really?
And we were big readers of those.
That's
I was
a great,
readers
that,
of,
yeah, there's a whole series of books,
well,
are great books.
They're
yeah.
saying that a lot of the founding fathers were Freemasons, and there's a lot of Freemason symbols in the
There are.
They're,
right
Washington,
on the dollar
D.C.
bill is Masonic yeah. symbols on the American dollar, yeah.
Well, the actual design of Washington, D.C. is laid out in a Masonic pattern.
You see, I didn't realize
yeah.
that.
See, I thought that was Lafayette being drunk. He put his wine glass down on the paper and drew circles around. That's why you have all those traffic circles in D.C., which I grew up in.
Oh.
So you have all these, like, funny little, they're almost like roundabouts, and everything's one way the wrong way.
Wow.
I thought it was alien crop circles.
Our government was founded by aliens.
I have a question. So when you're doing the voices, are you picturing the cartoon?
Totally.
Do you have your own show in your head, or are you just doing the emotion? Is it a radio show to you, or are you actually picturing it?
I see Lisa Simpson in my head when I do her. She totally comes to mind, and I see her going through the action, but I'm not very good at the big picture, so I'm not sure. Like, I never could have created a scene like this in my head, but it's all very alive for me in my brain when I do her.
I try to... The only thing you try to do is, like, if there's a particular kind of weight. For instance, like, if Homer's walking while he's talking, you want to make it convincing, so you try to put that sound in your voice. So you do try to give something to the animators to, you know, to help visualize it or to help make it sound more real.
But we are limited physically because we can't move off mic.
Sometimes
you guys do move around a bit.
We
do gesture and you look at each other. It's like a radio play. I've said that before. And you interact and you're alive. It's fun to watch you do it because it really, you know, you create a picture for me, too.
Why? Because we are all in the same room. That is part of the magic of what happens on our end of the show, that if we were doing our lines one at a time in a vacuum, which we sometimes have to do if somebody's away on another job or something, it's just a different performance is all.
Yeah. Well, it's all.
By the way, that song was great. One of the classics.
Yeah,
you know,
fantastic.
Right before we get to the song, I'd say this is pure Schwarzwelder. The fact that no matter what people say, he continues to do worse and worse things. And if you listen to Patrick Stewart's ad-libs, they're absolutely hilarious. Outrageous. Why is he doing it? It's just very, very funny things.
Stonecutter underwear, too.
I love these upcoming gags.
Yes, I think this is Jace Richdale, the fact that the demons come out of the underwear. I'm not absolutely sure. I will say that song, which is an integral part of he's learned his lesson, that's also Schwarzwelder. But the song was not in the original idea. It wasn't in the original script. But Matt came in, having read the script, and really liked it, was excited about it. He said, you know what, I think there should be a song in there.
Yeah, it was based on an old Betty Boop cartoon, and I can't remember the one, but there was.
I believe it was, and I'm sure whoever's watching will probably know, but it had something to do with the dog going into hell or the underground.
It was an underground thing down a little thing.
Yeah.
I love this gag. Oh, man.
I wrote this gag, and I can still remember visually coming up with it. And I think that one of the reasons that it's a powerful thing is that you get the stone of shame, which is really bad, and then he becomes the hero, and they attach the stone of triumph, which
that's
is much bigger.
I love it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the reason that that's funny, I mean, not that I think of that when I wrote it, but it's just funny that sometimes when good things happen to you, they're actually worse than bad things. You know what I mean?
No good deed.
Yeah, no good deed. And having a lot of power is actually a bigger stone around your neck than having no power.
That's
The Last Emperor. This is just taken right from that. I also love the way it just so happens that this makes Homer look like a clown, and the way he moves is like a clown. So
yeah.
That your leader, your god, is also just such an idiot is also an interesting point of view. Again, beautiful, beautiful drawing there.
Now, when you say we're going to do this thing based on stonemasons, do you design their garb, for instance, or does
everything is designed. We'll have an idea for a design. But then Jim Reardon will send, even before I get the storyboards, which are like the comic book panels of the action, they'll be sending me designs and sending Matt the designs too. And we'll say, no, let's make this like this and change this and be this color and that color. And we come up with it as
the designers are so good.
They are.
They're incredible.
You have to do very little. You really do, because they're so, and they so get the humor, you know?
Right.
If you go outside of our group and bring someone that's working on another show, they don't understand the humor of this show. They don't understand the subtlety of it. The fact
the sensibility
that so many things
of it.
Because you know what it is? Cartoons are full of very intricate, elaborate designs. What we try to do is we try to indicate the joke and the attitude and the emotion with as few lines as possible.
I remember you saying that, Matt.
Yeah.
I heard you say that in a really early interview, and I thought it was oh so brilliant that the facial expressions would always be indicated by as few lines as possible.
Well, that's the idea on the facial expressions, but it also extends to the designs themselves.
I see.
And because there's so few lines, by adding just another level of lines gives you an incredibly rich kind of design.
Yeah, Matt's drawing style is, you know, it's just absolutely brilliant, and it, you know,
I don't want people who can really draw much better than I can. It makes me feel bad.
But you know, the best stuff is also the simplest stuff. You know,
right.
when you really get it down to something very simple and basic, it has the most effect and the most impact. The best stuff is elegant and simple, and that's these characters on the minute interstitials on Tracy Ullman hit a giant nerve right away.
Right.
And so much of that had to do with the design. Like, right off the bat, people reacted to the way that Matt draws, and that's the philosophy.
What I don't understand is that Envy poster back there. What the hell is
we worked
that?
Real hard on that.
Yeah.
I those are things.
Someone better have gotten fired for that blunder.
So I would say the song was really fun to write. We wrote it as a room. It was a fantastic idea to add the song. Alf did great music, and like I said, the room wrote the lyrics. And we got to put in all the things that annoyed us, which is who's holding back the electric car? Why aren't there electric cars? That's because the Masons. Who rigs every Oscar night? That's the Masons doing that. Who made Steve Guttenberg a star? The Masons. You know, would that have happened without the Masons? We're not going to say either way. But, you know, that's sort of all those jokes. And then a perfect example of a George Meyer insane line that also rhymed. Who robs cavefish of their sight? One of that's the Masons were all the stonecutters were also doing that as well for some reason. But they also who keeps the aliens under wraps? That was them. So
right.
it's all those great conspiracy things
are in
here.
Now, is this about the Masons having to do a good deed?
Well, the Freemasons do. Are connected
when we
with
say
some
Masons,
charity.
We actually mean stonecutters.
Stonecutters, sorry.
Whenever you hear the
I mean
word.
Stonecutters.
Stonecutters.
It's not that the Masons could ever do anything to us. No.
No, not at all. None of this leaves this room.
What this really becomes is not so much, even though the Masons do, or people, these type of organizations do a lot of great things. This was about spiritual unfulfillment. Homer gets everything
right.
He wants. And again, great John Swartzwelder writing, where she goes, Dad, you know, this is not going to last forever. And Homer goes, everything lasts forever, which is just pure Swartzwelder writing Homer in the best way possible. And then Dan doing a brilliant job at saying it.
Kill him. Kill the fool.
I have to disagree with Orville, Jack, and Mister.
Can't we just do something to his voice box?
Mister.
We might as well face the truth. As long as we're
But
so.
The idea that Homer is trying to now get spiritual fulfillment just angers the Masons who really just want to have a good stonecutters who just want to have a good time and drink all the time. So they actually form their own club, and that's where No Homers comes from.
Once again, it's not what you think it will be.
Exactly. It was really fun to show that there's the symbol. It was fun to show that getting everything you ever thought you wanted in ultimate power is actually more of a curse than it is a positive thing. And I think that's true. I really do think that part of life is the struggle, and that's what kind of keeps you alive and keeps you moving. You know, if you had everything, you would not be happy. There's no proof that makes humans happy. So it's very deep episode.
That is deep, actually.
And anybody realizes that he's part of a very exclusive club, and that's his family.
Hmm.
So if people buy that, then we're off to the bank. There's a joke coming up. I had this ring as a kid that I loved.
I remember those,
metal. It was made of metal, and it was a whistle. Those rings there. Yeah. So that's why they have
Whoopee
those.
Whoopee rings.
It was my favorite ring that I ever had. And so it was fun.
Tiffany
to...
makes them now.
They're platinum.
Made out of grand silver. Tiffany.
Oh! Oh! Ah! This club better be worth it.
All right. It's Lisa's turn.
I love how ready Lisa is. Yeah. That was Homer the Great by the great Mr. Schwartzwelder and the great Mr. Jim Reardon. And we reprise the song.
This song makes me happy every time I hear it.
It's a great tune that Alf came up with.
It kind of reminds me of the Student Prince. There's a song called Drink, Drink, Drink. I don't know if that's any kind
it definitely has that kind of feeling to it, yeah. It is. I mean, there are. We needed a song where we
operetta,
knew they were going to have the grogs of beer going back and forth. I don't know if people even know Mr. Gutenberg is.
Well, now Steve Gutenberg's gone on. We've made fun of him, but now he's gone on to...
To
obscurity.
Oh, no. Not necessarily. I'm sure he's happy. It's all about
sure
being happy, and we wish Mr. Gutenberg the best. That's the point.
I hope.
So, shushing me, I think it's a good idea.
I should talk.
Thanks, everyone.